You're listening to KTNA Talkeetna. And now for Nuggets, a locally produced program focusing on the northern Susitna Valley. Created by your friends and neighbors at Pothole Productions and Talkeetna Community Radio. From comic relief to serious beliefs, each week brings you a fresh nugget. I'm Holly, and tonight's show is with Doug and Marlene Chilcote that live out Birch Creek Boulevard. And Dr. Chilcote and his wife have set up a veterinary clinic. Welcome, Doug and Marlene, to the show.
Thanks for inviting us.
And welcome to you, Dr. Chilcote.
You're welcome. Feel like two nuggets.
Two nuggets tonight, two for the price of one. What is the name and location, first of all, of your veterinary clinic? Either one of you can talk.
Our actual physical location is 32789 South Mastodon, with emphasis on the South Mastodon. We're the only folks out there. It's not the Mastodon further down Birch that everybody else lives on. You're only going to come down Birch about 4 miles, and then you take a ride at the T. And the name of the facility is Talkeetna Sunshine Veterinary Services.
And that's actually the old tree farm, isn't it?
That's correct.
Picorni Tree Farm. So if people knew where the tree farm was, they'll know where to find you.
And you can pretty much just ask anybody down Birch Road.
They'll know where the vet is. And is this the area's first local veterinary clinic that you know of? I know we've had veterinarians that travel here sometimes, and I mean based.
Particularly, I think so.
Based right here in the Talkeetna area.
Yeah, to the best of our knowledge.
Talkeetna Sunshine area. I like the way you incorporated
that. That was Doc's idea. Yeah. I was not in favor of that. I wanted it actually to be Talkeetna Veterinary Services, but he felt like because of where we're located that it was real important for us to join in both the communities. And actually we could be Talkeetna Sunshine Willow Trapper Creek because we
veterinary
seem to be, we're drawing a lot of business from the Trapper Creek area and the Willow area.
I bet you are, because it's great to have somebody local here like this. And so you won with that argument, didn't you? There you go.
I never win with the argument. With Marlene, you don't win the argument.
I can out-talk you.
Oh, all right. Well, can you tell us a little bit about how you decided to locate here? Did you just...
Sure. I had a very large practice in the state of Maryland that I started in 1970. And... started out doing, everything, large and small animals. My interests were horses and the companion animals, dogs and cats. And anyhow, we built it up to a 9-doctor practice, 24/7, never closed the doors, emergency trauma. We had our own blood bank, and I had 9 doctors and 30 staff members, and the medicine surgery was easy, but dealing with the business aspect and the management aspect drove me crazy. So I came home one night. We had a nice farm outside of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And I told Marlene, I said, I got to slow down. So let's go out west of the Mississippi and buy a little ranch and just kind of chill out for a while. And she said she wouldn't go out west, but she'd go back to Alaska. And I said, get on the computer. So she got on the computer and found this property, and I came up in February. She wanted me to come up when it was winter to see what it was like, and bought it on the spot.
All right. So it was the first thing you looked at? I mean, you looked at?
Bingo.
When you said, you mentioned that Marlene wanted to come back to Alaska.
That's correct.
Yes, so I came up originally in 1974, December of 74. It was my father's last tour of duty in the Army. And I was actually in college at the University of Alabama and came up to visit and ended up staying. I worked the pipeline. I worked with Bechtel and stayed till the end of the pipeline and left Alaska, and often throughout the years wondered, why. That it was always just like, I'm going to go back someday. And I just wasn't willing. We had a beautiful home in Gettysburg. It was a very historic home built in 1776. And I just wasn't willing to leave my home in the middle of the apple orchard for Idaho or Montana.
It needed to be something special.
Yes, and I knew I didn't want to relocate back to Fairbanks. That's where I was then. That was a little bit too extreme for me in the 70s and early 80s.
Yeah.
And found Talkeetna just by looking at the Alaska map and then Googled rural farmland Alaska. And came
and
up,
found
it was the first property that we looked at, and he, after seeing it, didn't want to look at anything else. That was it for him. Mm-hmm. We looked at it in February of 2005, bought it in April, and he was up here August the 12th of 2005, that quickly.
Wow. Well, that led to the next question, was how long you've been out there, you know. So
we're
you
going
came
into
in
our third winter.
Uh-huh, okay.
Yeah, we actually opened the business on October the 6th of last year, though. We're getting ready to celebrate our first year.
First year?
Yes.
October 6th, did you say?
Correct.
Well, happy anniversary coming up.
Well, thank you.
We're all, lots of us are thrilled that you're in the area.
Well, we're thrilled to be in the area. Yeah. We're happy here.
It's great to have local business here, somebody that can save our companion animals at a moment's notice.
We do our best.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask, was how business is doing. Is it?
We're doing fine. You know, I don't want to practice, certainly, and it wouldn't happen here like I had in
Maryland. Right,
that's
what
you
meant to get away from.
And so, you know, we just want to, you know, be able to keep the doors open. Mm-hmm. We have a nice facility. We have just about everything except, you know, for X-ray services and you know, the state of the art X-ray services now are digital X-rays, which are about $125,000 to get set up. So we're going to have to sit tight on that one for a while. But I love going back and practicing veterinary medicine the way it sort of used to be, and what I mean by that. Today, everything has become so specialized in the lower 48. If I had a orthopedic case that came in that I could probably handle, I would still have to refer it to an orthopedic specialist, or, you know, a neurology case and refer it to the neurologist. Up here, it's sort of like, you know, when I practiced 30 years ago, there weren't that many specialists. And in spite of all, we usually did a pretty good job. The veterinarians, you know, did a pretty good job.
And you got to do the whole wide range.
Yeah, and that's what's exciting.
And,
you know,
and
that's
the advantage, what's
exciting,
I think, today would be is that you've got the best of both worlds. You've got the practicing like you were 20 or 30 years ago, but you've got the technology of today. You know, we've got our own in-house laboratory, and you know, that makes it so much easier. You're not having to send things off to the lower 48 necessarily.
And the anesthesias,
right, the anesthesia machines
are sophisticated, and we have monitors, the, you know, for oxygen, blood pressure, etc. So I think we're practicing, in my opinion, a good quality of veterinary medicine. With the exception of, I wish we did have,
the magic X-ray. Yeah.
And so I missed that, but, you know.
Well, someday, you know.
Maybe.
The clinic got one for humans finally up here.
Yeah,
until about 5 years ago, we dealt with a decrepit, ancient, I mean, you were better off just not getting X-rayed. And maybe we'll get grant money take up a collection
right.
So we could get you the
state
of the art.
You know, we're off the grid, so, you know, that sort of complicates matters with, you know, with some of the equipment.
Technology,
there's a lot of the equipment
today is,
you know, digital and the da-da-da-da-da. And generators have a tendency to...
Thus far, the only thing the generator's fried is the washing machine, so we've been blessed.
Oh, dear. Well, let's take a little short break, and we'll be back talking with Doug and Marlene Chilcote in just a minute.
The whole thing started because it looked like fun when other people had a dog. I'm going to get me one, I said. Have a little friend around the place. So I went to the pet store down the street, and lying in the middle of a canine heap was a sleepy little puppy with a quiet sort of a face. The next few weeks were certainly strange, between the barking and thinking up of names. Old Bluey wasn't, and Spot didn't really apply. So I settled for Harry just because that's how he is, that's how he was, and that's how the house gets more and more as days go by. For a time I was careful where I sat. The rug got funky and he chewed up my hat. And it still happens once in a while when he gets mad. But it's been pretty even after all. I taught him what I know about playing ball. He's helped me get rid of a lot of stuff I used to have. Sometimes friends drop by for a couple of beers, and we all sit around, take turns rubbing his ears and calling him. It's been that way ever since he was a pup. He sleeps on the bed, and when I turn over, he turns over, and I turn over, and then he turns over, I turn over, and we get up. As my life keeps moving through the different conditions, the big changes come with the slightest decisions. You're in for a surprise when you think you got it figured, I've found. 'Cause who ever thought I'd ever dote on a pet? But looking back now, I always forget how I filled up the time before my dog was around.
All right, well, I'm Holly, and we're talking on today's Nuggets show with Doug and Marlene Chilcote, who have opened the area's first veterinary clinic, Talkeetna Sunshine Veterinary Clinic, out South Mastodon Road off Birch Creek Boulevard, the old tree farm. And so, let's see, we were talking about technology, talking about how you enjoyed working up here with the way it used to be, but with modern technology. What sort of animals do you work on, or are there creatures that you actually don't work on?
if it comes in a shoebox with holes punched in it, somebody else needs to see it. But mainly, you know, I enjoy the dogs and the cats, and I had a lot of experience with horses, but you know, I'm getting to be an old horse myself, so you know that physical aspect of it. I used to breed and race standardbred, trotters and pacers, and had a, you know, I had my own farm, and that was an interesting experience. So now I prefer riding motorcycles, Harleys, rather than sitting behind
than the horse.
You know, it's a little easier on the garage.
And working on on large animals.
But I did.
It's got to be physically harder.
I did horses, equine medicine for 28 years. I have a son who is a specialist in large animal medicine, who's also a veterinarian, but he's also
back,
a PhD.
Back east?
Back east. He's a major in the Army. And he has a PhD, he has his veterinary degree and is board certified in large animal medicine. So he is a specialist and PhD in immunology. And he's actually doing research at Walter Reed for the United States.
On the large animal type? I mean, research that would benefit large animals?
Well, research that would benefit people.
Oh, great. Great.
Before anything's done on humans, it's the research and some of the studies are done.
Gets tested out on our companions.
On some lab animals,
yeah.
et cetera.
Yeah, when we first opened the hospital, we had intentions of doing cats, dogs, and also doing equine, you know, doing the horses. But I think that what we've discovered is that, first of all, there's several good veterinarians, large animal veterinarians, that are not too far. One's located in Willow and one's located in the Palmer, that do not mind coming up here. Doc has met both of them at meetings, and that at his age and my age, you know, that 2 o'clock in the morning phone call to go out and, you know, help a colicky horse on a cold winter morning, I think we're just a little beyond that. Certainly if we can help anybody, you know, they, as far as giving them advice over the telephone or help them find a veterinarian, they need to feel free to call us. He's seeing just a few horses, but at this time and point I just don't think we're going to take any more equine clients on. But again, we want everybody to feel free to call us.
Sure.
Even if
you,
it's something, a shoebox question, We can usually answer the question or get
careful
somebody to
now.
Answer
careful.
The question for you.
This is radio, but if you could see Doug's face right now, he's not real happy about answering shoebox questions, I don't think. But there are some in the Lower Valley that probably do.
Well, it's, you know,
And how about birds? They've got to be a specialty too, don't
they? Yes, they are.
We have birds of our own. And at this point, Doc doesn't even vet our own birds. Now, he and Mary, I'm trying to get them signed up now for a class that's going to be actually held in Alaska to try to kind of update us on our avian medicine. And I'm hoping that the next CEs that they go on, continuing educations that go on Lower 48, that we'll be able to pick up some avian medicine there too, because I think that is something that is very much needed up here, and there's nobody that will travel up here to do that.
If you can believe it, our bird talks more than Marlene.
But he talks in my voice.
Does he? And do you teach him what to say? Does he repeat?
Oh, yes.
He's like a two-year-old. He has the emotional ability of a two-year-old child, the vocabulary of a four-year-old child, and he will pick up and say anything just like a four-year-old child.
Oh, dear, you have to be really, really careful.
I have lots of great stories, but unfortunately we can't tell them on the air. But they would be interesting.
So you have a bird. What other animals of your own do you have?
We actually have three birds. We have a Moluccan cockatoo. We have a Congo African gray. We have a canary, which a client up here actually gave us as a gift. We have three dogs and two cats, and we have seven goats coming. Oh, and 25 chickens. And two roosters.
And an outhouse.
Well, we're having an outhouse built, which I know to a lot of people seems strange since we have this big, huge new building, but we just feel like we need an outhouse out there in keeping with the ambiance of the property.
Of the what's turning into a actual farm, too, up here, it sounds like, if you're having goats and chickens. And
Marlene, you know, we built a little greenhouse, and Marlene has a good green thumb, and so it's kind of cool. It's kind of like I grew up as a rather poor young man. I mean, you know, I grew up in a family where we didn't have electricity, and we cooked off the wood stove, heated off the wood stove. You know, we had our own truck patch. We made our own, I can remember my grandmother sitting in a rocking chair, you know, bouncing the big old cream jug on her lap, singing the old Rugged Cross and making our own butter. And so, you know, I enjoyed those days. Yeah. I'm not saying I'd want to go back to those days, but I appreciate those days and I enjoyed them. And you know, and I feel, you know, that heritage is part of what I am. And coming to Alaska sort of takes me back to a small part of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good life.
A simpler time, an earlier time.
No, a sense
of community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, there's
mm-hmm.
such a sense of community here. And this radio station's part of that sense of community. One of the first things, when our first winter up here, we spent that winter in the old homestead that Mr. Percourtney had built. And we didn't have any television. We had our little, in fact, his grandfather's old radio that we would, and we found your radio station. And it was it gave us such a sense of belonging, even though we really didn't know anybody, to listen to Denali Echoes
mm-hmm.
and to, you know, to listen to the news every day. And we got to where it was a morning ritual, you know, an afternoon ritual, and then a dinner ritual. And that's something that you don't normally get in all parts of the Lower 48. I think there are places you do, like in some parts of Minnesota maybe the Upper mm-hmm. Peninsula of Michigan and such as that. But very few people get to experience in that, you know, unless they just visit here or live here. And it's a neat thing.
Yeah,
it's great to have friends that wear something else other than pinstripe shoes and pinstripe
shoes.
Suits and alligator shoes. I like the folks up here. You know, it's amazing. You know how self-sufficient they are. It's you meet some of these guys and gals, and their ingenuity to me is just amazing.
You appreciate their stories too, don't you?
I really do.
Well, let's take a short break, and we'll be back talking with Doug and Marlene Chilcote in just a minute.
Straightening out your back legs, watching in my arms, yawning, blinking, curling back around. Your dismissive glances slap me back somehow. Meow, meow, meow. Sleeping on the big bed, the sultan slips the scene. Chasing something, running in your dream. I am so enchanted with your twitching growl. Meow, meow, meow. My function, 24 a day, is to do for you anything you say. Where do you get that notion, and how come I can't tell? Meow, meow, meow. Yeah, buddy, meow, meow, meow.
Well, that ends a little abruptly. Sorry, Tony, I forgot. Tony's running the board for us tonight. And I'm Holly, and you're listening to Nuggets on KTNA, Talkeetna. I'm talking tonight with the area's first real, live, year-round, lives here veterinarian, Dr. Chilcote, Doug Chilcote, and his wife, Marlene. And we've got a few more minutes left till we get to the top of the hour. So let's see. Do you... have any stories about any patients that you've seen so far up in the up here in the Susitna Valley, or if there aren't any good ones from up here, how about in the way back?
I think
machine?
the clients up here are very, very dedicated to their dogs. A dog is more than a dog; it's a companion, and you know, and a protector, and you know, a lot of people you know live out in the bush and live alone, and I'm just thoroughly impressed, you know, with the caring. You know, I was a trail vet for the Iditarod last year, and I'm going to do it again this year. Very interesting. The sled dogs to me are just absolutely amazing athletes.
Had you ever seen any or worked on any before you came up here?
No.
And most of the dogs you saw were more...
Well, the sled dogs in the lower 48, you know, where I'm from, are all, you know, huskies, Siberian huskies. And then, of course, you know, a lot of the veterinarians come up from the lower 48, you know, and it's their first experience with the sled dogs. And they're looking and they're saying, hey, these dogs are really skinny. Hey, these dogs, you know. And, you know, we don't see any fat marathon runners, but... These dogs are amazing athletes, and the mushers that I've come across are very, very dedicated, and you know, I always keep my fingers crossed for our local mushers here, and you know, in the Talkeetna and Sunshine area and Trapper Creek, and you know, I just you know, I always like to see them do
little
well.
Extra
and
pull
and
for them.
And we did well. That last year was a tough race. It's a tough race. The conditions were really, you know, pretty tough. And,
yeah. And so you traveled along, or were you?
I was gone for like three.
You were gone for over a month.
I was gone for over a month. Finger Lakes to McGrath to Elam, to Nome to Safety, and just kind of all over the place. Yeah. But it was a great experience. You know, I got to see parts of Alaska I normally wouldn't see, and you know, enjoyed the bush plains. And I had a few moments where I questioned my sanity. quote, the local vet, you know. But overall, it was just a great experience. And
it sounds like you're hooked on it. You're doing it again next year.
Met a lot of neat people, and it was pretty.
It gets in your blood.
It was neat following along. I actually went on to two or three different websites and followed along with, you know, when we say local mushers, these are our clients. You know, these are the dogs that, you know, that we see.
Right.
And that was really kind of neat to be able to, you know, actually, I spent that that whole Saturday, I think it was a Saturday that they started out, and I actually watched them go across, you know, the start line and everything. And that was a neat experience. And Holly, you were asking if we had any neat stories about our patients up here. We have tons of neat stories. I mean, because we have the best clients and the coolest pets. You just couldn't ask for better pet owners than what we've got up here. We love our clients to death, and we love their pets. So if you ever want to hear a really good story, just come on by and see us. And I assure you, since, as Doc calls me, the South of the Mouth, I'll be glad to entertain you.
The mouth of the South.
I'll be glad to entertain you with some
with
stories.
Yeah. Well, you do see a lot of different, like you said, they're more work. A lot of working dogs up here. I mean, they're real necessary in the bush where you came from. Did you probably saw a lot of more residential?
Well, you know, well, where I came from, we still, you know,
you had farm
a lot
dogs.
Of hunting dogs, yeah. And you know, and cattle dogs, et cetera. But you know, I mean,
you saw a lot of fox hunting dogs.
And there is, you know, I think I had one client, you know, that was, you know, was into the sled dogs, but you know, it's on a whole different scale. You know, they're pulling wagons,
all different things.
You know.
Well, it looks like we're getting near the end of our time with Nuggets today, and I'd like to thank you, Doug and Marlene, for Chilkoot, for coming in. I always want to say Chilkoot because of the Chilkoot Trail, but you're Chilkoot.
Like you'd have a chill and put on a coat.
Put on a coat.
And okay. These two Nuggets want to thank you for inviting us, and you know, hope we didn't bore.
Oh, you're great you're a great asset to our community, and we're looking forward to talking with you again sometime.
You're very kind. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for coming down. You've been listening to Nuggets, a locally produced program focusing on the Northern Susitna Valley. Do you have a nugget you'd like to share? If you would like to host a show, be a guest on this program, or get involved in some other way, please call the station at 733-1700. You may also contact us through our website at ktna.org. I'm Holly, and I've been your host this week. And next week, I will actually be back in the hot seat again, talking with Esther Golden about her new CD that she's releasing and her plans for the future. And you're listening to KTNA. Talkeetna. Up next is City Arts and Lectures. Thanks for listening.